Today's guest is the lovely Melissa Kupsch in Queensland, Australia. Melissa is known for her incredible results she has with clients who are seeking treatment for fertility. And often as homeopaths, we do end up being the last resort. So by the time Melissa sees clients for issues with fertility, they've often seen pretty much everybody else and seeing her as a last resort. And yet still, she is able to achieve incredible results. So do reach out to her if fertility is part of your journey at the moment. You can reach her at www.melissakupsch.com. That's MelissaKupsch.com. And you can also find her on Instagram at thathomeopath, where she shares some wonderful information. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we get to hang out with the lovely Melissa Kupsch over East in Australia. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Thank you so much.
Now, many of our listeners will know you as That Homeopath on Instagram, and I've been following you for a while and so have tens of thousands of other people because you share some amazing information in there and have incredible results of your fertility cases that you work with as well. But tell us a story of how you were first introduced to homeopathy.
For sure. So I don't know whether you actually know the story, but one of the homeopaths that you've already had on the show, Peter Berryman, he was my lecturer at uni. So when I was studying to be a naturopath, he used to say to me, oh, you know, you'd really like homeopathy. And because I'd never heard of homeopathy, I just used to fob it off. What just wasn't interested. I thought if I'd heard of it, maybe it would be something. So yeah, I just sort of left that. And then 2 years into my degree, my sister was chronically ill. So she was in and out of hospital since we were 16 until early 20s. And she had recurrent UTIs that were so bad. They would land her in hospital. She'd be in there for a week on IV antibiotics. She'd have an oxygen mask. She was really sick. And so she tried all of the naturopathic things, all of the Chinese medicine, the acupuncture, the herbs. She quit her job. She tried like grounding, meditation. She really tried everything holistic. Plus our dad is a doctor. So she had tried everything medical. They did like the muscle pulsing machines through the bladder. All of these things, had the best specialist in one of Brisbane's best private hospitals. And anyway, they just said, this is just something that you're going to have the rest of your life. The best we can do for you is recommend prophylactic antibiotics for you to take every single day to try and prevent an infection. And it's like, that is just not viable. On top of that, they just said, you just really need to not ever have sex because that was kickstarting these urinary tract infections. And yeah, one day I was at uni, still studying on course to be a naturopath. And then Peter Berryman said to me, oh, are you sure you don't want to do homeopathy? I was like, right, that's it. If you can cure my sister's like chronic condition, then I'll just change my degree next week. And he said, right, well, when can she meet with me? So we just met in a coffee shop the next week, took about an hour going through her case, all of the things, gave her a remedy. I'm sure you can probably guess what the remedy was, but she got Staphysagria. And yeah, after a couple of days, like started to have this profound shift, all of these discharges, all of this crazy stuff. And I just thought, what on earth is happening? I actually cannot comprehend. And I thought at that stage, I was pretty open-minded, pretty holistic, understood it, but that was next level for me. And then it sort of became this obsession, like I have to know more. And so then I started reading and needless to say, I did change my degree and here we are. And so yeah, that was really what led me here.
That is really cool. And actually, I saw on your website that Peter Berryman is working with you as well. And he's such a talented practitioner himself. He's actually been on the show twice and such an inspiration. And I'm just like, how does one person know so much? It's quite incredible.
I think he's just dedicated to homeopathy, just totally dedicated.
And how lucky are we that your paths crossed because now you're on the homeopathy side.
For sure. Yeah.
But also it's because, you know, I started out with a naturopathic training as well and then went to the homeopathy side, but it's so good having that naturopathic training. Do you find yourself like drawing on that quite often?
I would say even Samuel Hahnemann, he started out with all of those sort of lifestyle things first, right? Like really get your diet clean, get all your levels right. And then when you're still diseased, looking at homeopathy more, I'd say definitely the fundamentals of that would come into play and some of the herbal things just as an adjunct because they go so well hand in hand, just really boosting everything all over. If we're talking sperm, hormone health, yeah, definitely.
I'm a huge fan of using herbs, but in homeopathic potency. So I often quite like using ginkgo or withania or milk thistle or dandelion in homeopathic, like 6x potency as like a tonic or
oral
support.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you are so well known for your huge success with fertility cases. Talk to us a little bit about what got you into that niche.
It was kind of accidental, but also kind of, I wanted to be able to do something while I still had young kids at home where, you know, with treatment, I had a goal. It's like, I want to get you pregnant in 4 months, in 6 months, whereas say some of your eczema cases, these can be more in it for the long haul sometimes where it's like a really long thing. So that was sort of my motivation in the beginning. And then it just happened to be so successful. So I ran a free trial through Instagram and I just said, six people, anyone who'd like to get pregnant, anyone who's been trying for more than at least a year and has like quite a complex case, please let me know. And we just did it publicly. And then those six women all conceived in that 4 month period. And one of them happened to be a nurse at the time and then nurses talks. And then she went back to her hospital in Brisbane and is like, oh, I just got pregnant doing this thing. And then six more nurses came. And then in that next section, those six nurses also got pregnant in 4 months. So it just happened to be really successful at the start. And then with posting online, that just went bonkers. And as you would know, with homeopathy and fertility, it can be such a simple fix. Like so many women, the simple issue of you've been on the oral contraceptive pill. I saw you actually do a post about it recently. And just detoxing the contraceptive pill, bringing in folliculinum, these sort of hormone balancing remedies. Sometimes it's so simple. And some people have been trying for so long and they think, oh, I must have these really deep rooted issues. If I've been trying for 2 years and not conceived, well, damn, I'm in big trouble. But it truly is not always the case. Those simple fixes, getting that good egg white mucus, sperm can swim up there, problem solved. I would say a lot of my cases are very simple. Having said that, in more recent years, they are getting a little bit more complex, different layers of things. Our generation is getting older and we were the generation that really started with a lot of antibiotics, with a lot of oral contraceptive pills, a lot of steroids, a lot more of the environmental toxins. And so our toxic load, the women who are coming to sort of want to conceive at the moment, I feel we've got more toxicity and I guess a bit more complicated issues. But homeopathy, I think if people are committed to it, definitely gets you a long way there.
Just like, I don't know if you see me nodding and smiling, but I was like, yes, yes, yes. I so agree. There's so many of these fertility cases that have been given up on by even conventional IVF clinics, and they come to a homeopath, and so often it can be so simple. Like you said, that mucus, I've got a client at the moment and had really watery cervical mucus, and it's already starting to just get in that nice thicker. We've included this borax, like 200 C on a daily basis at the moment, and that cervical mucus is changing. And I know for her, that's the only tweak that we need in her case just to get that sperm climbing up those ladders or, like the oral contraceptive pill or sometimes the Gardasil vaccine. But I have something I want to ask you about is more recent pharmaceutical interventions in the last 2 years, which we'll use code words for, but I'm sure everybody agrees. I have had one client and her and her husband have both had it. And after 6 months of trying to get her pregnant and using all the techniques that I normally would, and she never had issues conceiving her first. I mean, we're only 6 months and she's actually decided herself, her and her husband, that they're not going to continue trying and they've given up. So they're just going to have the one child, which I'm really sad about because I was quite happy to continue trying. But I do wonder in the back of my head, have we completely stuffed things up by injecting these things into people, this experiment? And what are you seeing in clinic? Because I have seen some scary stuff. I've also seen some great results with homeopathy clearing a lot of that up. But what are you seeing?
So I guess I can compare pretty well from how quickly people were getting pregnant when I started 5 years ago to now. And something has definitely changed in the last couple of years. And then looking at, do you know Greg Braden, scientist, and he's going through and we're looking at the birth rates around the world and they're dropping off a cliff. So we know that fertility has been severely impacted by COVID and COVID vaccines. The reason is that I've had a number of patients who were well into their pregnancies at even 20 weeks who got COVID and then started bleeding and miscarrying. Likewise, a lot of miscarriages with the jabs and with other interventions. And so I think that it has been a mix. And a lot of my patients didn't get the recent medical interventions. And so I know that it's not just, I think it's not just that. I would say probably like 70% of my patients didn't get it and have still, and then even after having COVID, a lot of them had horrifically painful periods. And so I think it is the inflammation from whatever has happened. And there's so much controversy over like, what even is this virus? Is it a virus? Is it toxicity? Is it, I'm sure you've heard all of the theories, and whatever it is with this vector is that when people are getting sick with that set of symptoms, the periods are changing. Something is changing and something is being lit up in the body in terms of the inflammatory sort of response. And I think that's really impacting people's ability to get pregnant. And then in regards to homeopathy and clearing it, we've got the isodes that are made specifically from those three different, predominantly the three different interventions. So depending on which one specifically someone got, in the beginning of sort of seeing this come through, I was only treating people with those if they had a known adverse reaction, if they could tell me things really changed after that. And then that's when I would, whereas now I'm sort of getting to the point of, I just want to clear it anyway, just in case. I don't want people to have to wait and keep trying much longer. But yeah, it's very fascinating. And then their responses to the homeopathic versions of the medical interventions, that tells me that yes, that was a causal factor, because the homeopathy version of it is completely changing their menstrual cycle, which tells me that never well since that we're always looking for in homeopathy, like where did our fertility take a real turn? So yeah, definitely, I think it is an issue. And then I think along with the homeopathics, I'm really advising people right now, like it's so much harder to get pregnant. I need you to take your sunshine exposure really seriously. I need you to take your stress levels really seriously. What used to happen, if we go back a couple of like generations, people could probably smoke and easily get pregnant, drink a lot and get pregnant, you know, live all this. These days, it's like you need to put your all into it, because like the scales have just been tipped so far against most people. So yeah, that's really where I'm at. But there's just a lot of devastation out there, and the number just seems to be climbing. And when you even look at the sperm, I've got some men in their 20s, 25, 26, 27, and their sperm is so low, they're not even viable to do IVF. That's sort of the levels that we're reaching. And it is interesting to me, and it could be coincidence, but two of those men who are very, very young were male nurses. Another two were military, and they do get a lot more medical interventions just by virtue of their job. And I wonder if that is having an impact. Trauma definitely having an impact. The last couple of years being so stressful for everybody, we can't really say how much of an impact on that, the fear that their bodies are locked into. Of course, that's not really conducive to the body saying, right, let's reproduce. It's not safe. Don't do it. It's just, it's a bit of a mess, but I'm hoping that homeopathy can really come through with a bit of a shining light and help people.
And it definitely does. I mean, we do see that in our clinic. I'm sure that you see this as well. The people that have been fobbed off by every other profession pretty much on the planet, that you've heard that TEETH acronym, tried everything else, tried homeopathy.
Yeah.
And they do, you know, exactly. They often do come to you as a last resort, and, you know, you're often able to help these people, which is that's a miracle in itself.
Could you imagine what would happen if we were actually the first line of defense? You go to your GP and they say, oh, you've got this. Instead of putting up, so many of my patients, they've been through rounds, some of them up to seven rounds of IVF by the time they come and see me, and then homeopathy was successful. And I think you could have saved yourself not only all that grief and trauma, that money, but putting your body through those extensive treatments where homeopathy, we could serve you so much better straight off the bat. And it would have been even more simple for us to treat you first. You would have been younger, not so drilled by all the pharmaceuticals.
I think by the time that often people get to us, they have spent tens of thousands of dollars on other therapies that have not helped. And then they come and see the homeopath and we give them, you know, like a $20 remedy or whatever. So, I don't know what your fertility prescriptions look like, but often with me, people do walk away with like five or six or sometimes even more remedies with a fertility prescription.
I personally started to find that I needed more heavy miasmatic prescribing to really clear those layers. The cephaline and the carcinosin, those ones really dominant. So I've really upped those doses. And then with what we were talking about with these more recent medical interventions, I'm finding now needing to clear those layers, the COVID nozode, even that for the spike protein. So that's where I'm at. I was talking to Peter Berryman recently, and for the two of us, it's like our favorite remedies are the cefalinum, the carcinosin, and so often we are seeing such success using those two in tandem. Obviously, they have a lot of overlap with those remedies in general. And even Peter, who used to be very much a one remedy at a time person, is now using the two and seeing it just progress so much better. So, you know, with the fertility, definitely we're using about six or seven remedies for the woman in a very sort of like worked out protocol. With the men, I generally give a classical prescription and a miasmatic prescription. So really looking at all that family history, where could we be really clogged up here? But those miasmatic remedies seem to be some of my biggest unclearing ones. Even Euthuia metarhinum, how many women have had the history of STDs or the HPV? And this is where, yeah, and it's just that psychotic block that we're trying to clear. So yeah, that's where I'm at. And constantly playing with it. And I'm sure every homeopath is, as we like face new things and we're seeing new like generations come in of like, where are we stuck here in regards to fertility? But yeah.
Very, very cool. I just have to ask, what does your dad think of your job and what you do?
I went fishing with my dad yesterday and he said to me, so like, how's business going, darling? I said, oh, it's going good, Dad. And he said, you know, I really think you picked the winning ticket. And he said, if it wasn't clear before the last 3 years, it's very clear to me now. And so my dad's stoked, I think, for me, and my sister works for me as well. And he's happy because business for us has been absolutely thriving. And just he sees the testimonies. He only started following me on Instagram maybe, I don't know, probably about 6 months ago now. Which was so funny because I usually talk about him and I thought, oh, I'll have to watch what I say now that he's going to actually see what I talk about. But he's probably he is a GP and in a very low socioeconomic area. So people are often, they are so sick. It's like, this is just not the clientele who are ready or able to embrace homeopathy. It's just very, very much a very stuck sort of place. Mm-hmm. So Dad, in his work, it's like really telling them you've got to get your mind right. He can see that the core of these issues, you must start in the mind. And so most of them are morbidly obese, eating just a horrific diet. And so all of the disease and all of the infections that are coming as a result of that, we could really nip in the bud here. So yeah, Dad's always been really supportive. And it is funny because of course our ideologies largely like, we butt heads as much as I love to work alongside like GPs. And that would be my dream, probably have Dad come into the clinic and for the things that he's needed for, people can go there, all of their blood tests, anything like that. But largely we disagree on the approach, right? So,
well, if you can still fishing together, that's a huge win. So you two are doing something right.
For sure. For sure.
Amazing. Talk to me a little bit about trauma as well. I mean, you kind of touched on it with the last couple of years and everything that people have gone through. And I do think it's a combination of all the medical interventions plus just the sheer trauma and stress that so many people have gone through in the last couple of years. How do you treat trauma in your clinic and where do you kind of see that playing in?
So I have seen a lot of it in my fertility cases. So infertility, I really go into the depths of, can you pretty much tell me your whole health history and including, I often ask them the question, what are the two most traumatic or stressful seasons of your life? What's been the biggest events that might have given your vital force a knock? And it's really interesting the things that people will say because they'll take a little bit of time to ponder it. And I ask the husband and the wife and it's often not the things that you would expect, like the loss of someone. Sometimes it can be when my stepdad left the family or I had a childhood friend and her mum died of cancer. And at that age, that really sent me into a spin and I got really scared. And ever since then, I've had this severe health anxiety and whatever it is, I definitely attract a lot of sexual abuse patients, fortunately or unfortunately. I guess I love to help them. And it's something that I'm very familiar with because I have had so many cases of it. I can really understand where they're coming from. So I always factor that in. Even when I'm working in fertility, if I can see that that is a massive trauma that has left like residual effects in their body, I'm not just going to be looking at hormones. For some of them, I will give more of a classical prescription, maybe a Staphysagria, something along those lines. And yeah, so the traumas I just find I find it increasingly more and more to be the very core, like the root of our health disturbance, where you're really looking for where did that doorway to disease open. I find it's usually in the traumas and oftentimes 10 years and under. So I'm really fascinated by how they play out. So just one example I'm thinking of right now. I had a fertility couple. We did the fertility protocol. They didn't conceive at the end of it. And we said, right, let's go back for a deeper look. Let's look more at like a classical single remedy deep look approach. And the things that came out after in that next consult, and the husband said, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but when I was a child, my mum never hugged me. My mum, she loved me so much, but she's never told me that she loves me. She does things for me, but she's never told me that she loves me. And then another thing that he said to me was, you know, when I was like a teenager, I just remember distinctly being bullied in our neighborhood and I felt so rejected. And that's what he just said. He didn't say rejected. He just said, I just remember being bullied and that really sucked. And I'm like, okay. And as we went through and looking at the vibrational pattern from the core wound, this is that what I find so fascinating is that as a child, not receiving that love from his mum, he felt rejected. And then throughout life, then we've had the bullying incident and it's again, rejected, I'm not good enough. And then as we looked forward more in his life, it was this repeating theme of I'm not good enough, I'm not loved, I'm rejected. And it just went over and over and over. And that sort of thing, I think as a homeopath, we see all the time and we're really good at honing in on and identifying where was the original wound and how has that manifested throughout the rest of your life. And as we went back and as he saw that, and I said to him, like, as an adult, can you look back and see that your mum loved you completely? You know, your mum experienced her own traumas, which he sort of outlined for me. So he understood why she wasn't physically affectionate with him. And as an adult, looking back on that and saying, right, I was completely loved. I had this misconception throughout my whole life and it can just collapse these beliefs almost immediately. So this is without homeopathy even playing into it. It's that conscious awareness of, wow, I just misinterpreted something and my mum loves me completely. And I saw his like shoulders drop and just this sort of like joy flood in for him in that revelation that he was completely loved and completely good enough. And I find that sort of stuff, and it can be the most simple things because children are so sensitive. They just are. And sometimes they misconstrue situations. The parents can divorce and it can have nothing to do with the kids. And yet their little hearts can be broken and affected. And that can play into their future relationships and make it really difficult for them to have a harmonious relationships. And so I am so fascinated by all of that sort of stuff. And then the wife of that couple, she told me, I didn't mention it in my first consult, but actually I was abused when I was very young. And she said, but even before that, I have carried this element of shame with me just my whole life. I've always felt ashamed and I don't know why, you know, of course there was that event, but I also feel shame. And I said, okay, well, if this has been with you your whole life, what typically this means to me is this is generational. This has come through from someone else. I said, can you tell me about your parents' lives? Is there any element of shame? And she said, oh yes, there is, because my dad had 9 siblings and unfortunately there was like incest and abuse going on in the family there. And so the amount of shame that my dad felt, I've always known that. And I've always just sort of felt that myself too. And so when you really look at it, here we have these 2 30-year-olds just carrying the weight of so much stuff that really wasn't theirs to carry. And really it wasn't reality now in their 30s. She doesn't need to feel ashamed anymore. And in the end, the remedy that she ended up being prescribed was Thuja. And when she started taking that, despite having done the fertility protocol and all of that, when she took the Thuja in Fibonacci home cord, broke out in a rash, like all over her body. So I was like, right, we're onto something. Your body is recalibrating. We're shaking. We're shifting things out. So yeah, I find that so fascinating. Oftentimes after the fertility protocol, I will think, right, we've got to go deeper and get into the roots of this. Where is the core disturbance here? And I think the people's minds, that's where it really shows up. And yeah, that's right. And I find it, I don't know if you find this, but those core traumas tend to be the deep-seated, let's say emotional eating is something, or drinking, alcoholism, drug abuse. these sorts of things are, of course, trying to cover up those uncomfortable feelings that people have often felt for a very long time, not really knowing and understanding what is it that I'm really trying to run away from, because I'm not really aware of it, but there is something that makes me not feel right. And they can recognize that they're an emotional eater. And it's that emotional eating, let's say, that leads them to be very overweight or to be eating the wrong things, because most people know what the right things are. And yet they have such difficulty, that self-sabotage, and the discipline's just not there. Whereas when we address those deeper original wounds, that's where I find they can really actually honor themselves. Yeah. Mm. And so the health from a homeopathic perspective, of course, it elevates, but then your more lifestyle naturopathic, they want to exercise to feel good because they actually love themselves. Mm. That's where I think the sweet spot is. Mm.
Oh, that was so beautiful. I've got so many things I want to unpack there, but one of them is just when it's really cool when you recognize in a case that the issues that person does not belong to them and it's actually something ancestral. That is really cool. Yeah. And you can, it's hard to, I was trying to think the other day, like, how do I teach somebody else to do what I do in clinic? And I find it really hard and I don't quite know why. I think it's because a lot of it, it's kind of built up over time. But then trying to explain how you think in a consult to another homeopath can sometimes be tricky. So I was sitting here the other day trying to think, how do I explain to somebody when I feel that this does not belong to the client in front of me? It belongs to another generation or maybe even a past life. Mm. But you develop this intuition with case taking, especially when you're seeing a lot of cases, you develop this intuition where you just know this is not this person's stuff and you give a deep-seated ancestral healing remedy to this person and suddenly they're better. And so obviously there's something to it. And then you just gently slipped in there about the Fibonacci home accord. And I was thinking clearly Peter is having an effect on you as well as you having an effect on him.
Yeah, which is really cool. Sure.
And I've also got a beautiful case from a few years ago. And this was this beautiful couple. They came in together for fertility. And she'd heard me using the latest Ladle fertility protocol and she came in specifically for that. And so then it was uncovered that she had been sexually abused as well, which I don't know about you, Melissa, but I would say like 80% of the women I see in clinic have been sexually abused at some stage in their life. I almost sit in the clinic waiting for a woman to tell me that she has been sexually abused. So this client that came to see me for the latest Ladle fertility protocol, it was uncovered that she had been sexually abused. And then I said to her, look, I know you are trying to conceive right now, but I think we need to deal with the sexual abuse that you had gone through before we look at the fertility side of things. And she was totally okay with that. So at this stage, they had already been trying for a couple of years. They've gone through a couple of rounds of IVF and she'd had a miscarriage through that as well. And so she was actually happy to just wait 2 months for me to just try this remedy for her to deal with the sexual abuse. She came back after 2 months, she was pregnant. And that was literally all that we had to do. And then after that, that pregnancy ended up actually bringing up quite a lot of trauma as well. And then she then was quite hesitant to have a second child. And I said to her, you know, we can work on that. And we did. And a couple of months ago, she had a second baby. So it's just like we literally have the most satisfying job in the world, don't we?
Truly. And in regards to that sexual sphere, so many of the patients that I see, sometimes because I post a little bit on Instagram, they know that it's a safe place to come into our consult and say, right, I'm just going to tell you because I know it's important and it was a big deal for me. So many of them, they might have done talk therapy, but they just feel like they have gone around and around and they're so sick of talking about the actual abuse itself. And with me, they always say, this is so different because we're curious about, you don't have to tell me the awful details, but if you can just tell me the nature of it, tell me how you felt when this happened for you. And oftentimes they've never been able to like really get it out, knowing it's right now with the homeopathics, this is going to help that all melt away. It's not going to be that it's going to wipe it from your mind. You're always going to remember that it happened, but that feeling and that resentment that is stuck in your body that you don't want to carry anymore, we can set you free from that. And I don't know any other medicine on earth that can touch that layer like homeopathy can. Nothing can touch it as quickly, that's for sure. And just people that, you know, and some of these people, this abuse happened 30 years ago and they say, I have never felt this free of it. And that forgiveness, you know, a lot of people, they really try to cultivate in themselves like this, I'm just going to put it to bed. I don't want to be stuck in that space anymore, but it's just locked so deeply in their cells. And so with homeopathy, just that little key to unlock it and say, right, that vibrational reminder of it's gone, it's done, you're healing, you're safe. And yes, yeah, so wonderful.
So wonderful. So I'm just like really trying to get my head back into this because that is just so, oh, she said her baby's just discharged from hospital with viral meningitis today.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. I mean, goodness. Sorry, Melissa, but you couldn't make this shit up.
Yeah, for sure. But does this happen to you? I'm finding this.
Yeah,
sort of
it's
like
happening more and
level,
more. But that was lot. Next level. That was like as like sometimes it's like a minute before, a minute after. But this is next level shit. Like
you're literally about to talk about it. Yeah.
I just said, like, what are you? What? You couldn't make it up.
For sure. For sure.
Anyway, I just get back into. Okay. Is there anything before we kind of get back into it, what else do you want to make sure that we have a chat about? Is there any courses or anything else that you want us to make sure that we mention or? And I will ask you at the end to say your website and the socials where people can follow you, and you're welcome to mention about your kits as well or anything else that you want to mention.
Sure. I can't really think. I mean, I'm doing a course at the moment, which is sort of teaching, you know, naturopaths the basics of homeopathy so that they feel more comfortable.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'll frame that with a little question.
We shouldn't though, because it actually has just kicked off. So I wonder whether then people are going to be like, oh, can I do it? And I'm going to be like, oh, sorry, I literally just shut the doors because it's just starting this week.
Okay. So maybe you can just let people know then to sign up for your newsletter so that when, and you can maybe mention you do, maybe just mention that you are currently doing this and the doors are shut, but people can sign up to your newsletter to be notified when it comes up again.
Yeah, sure thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. So I'll just say, if you follow along on Instagram, because I am naughty and do not have a newsletter, although I should.
Instagram's, get a newsletter. Absolutely do it.
Just in case my Instagram goes down.
Do it. Yeah. You have to. Mm. Absolutely have to. Just do it. And you've got a website. Yeah. So it's easy for you to just, do you use like WordPress or what do you?
A PeopleLad. What's that through? It's not Squarespace. It's through a Shopify integrated one.
They will absolutely have, like you would get a plugin, like a newsletter plugin. And you don't even have, I'm really erratic with my newsletters that I send out. Like I try to send it once a week and I have a VA that creates it most weeks, but it's really good. Yeah. So if you're doing your sales or your courses or like you, do it for sure. And also with the algorithm, like you never know when the algorithm changes. So anyway, I don't have to preach that to you.
Yeah.
Cool.
I shall.
Cool. So Melissa, tell us a little bit about where people can get hold of you.
Sure. So I do most of my talking on Instagram. Instagram stories is definitely where it's at on there. And then we do courses that are coming up. So we're finding that a lot of not only our patients, I have had so many patients who are now studying homeopathy because they're so blown away by what they've seen and how it's happening. So
yeah.
I was talking with Peter Berriman about this and how we can do it. So at the moment, we sort of, for the people who want to do the full-on degree or a proper diploma, Switched on Health in Australia obviously does that. I'm not sure who else you recommend for that. So
no, just Switched on Health, the only ones in Australia. But yeah, obviously a few places overseas, but yeah.
Yeah. And then Peter and I have started teaming up to do these small bite-sized sort of study things. So it's not the full degree, but say you can get an insight to homeopathy. So whether it is a short course on like trauma, you know, ancestral trauma, short course on like eczema or asthma, first aid in the home is definitely a big one. Yes. So every week I've been doing homeopathic first aid, just Zooms, just free Zooms, get people in, let them learn about homeopathy, the history of homeopathy. So many people just stumble across my page through some random reel and they're like, what on earth is this? Is this essential oils? What is this? And so bringing people into it like that, I think the first aid in the home, mums learning that, definitely the key, because then not only are they avoiding all of the toxic things in early childhood, then as they grow older and they're actually navigating the bigger issues, you know, the anxiety, the depression, parents remember, oh, it wasn't just first aid that I can use that for. It's not just for the fevers and the teething. They're then using it for that. And the children are so blessed by being able to be raised in such a way. So yeah, definitely Instagram is where people really learn a lot. And I'm so lucky that so many of my patients allow me to share just little anonymous snippets of their cases and their stories, because I feel that so much of homeopathic, like being a homeopathic practitioner, is educating people about what healing actually looks like, because it's not all butterflies and rainbows. Healing can be really messy. And so when we are bringing things up to the surface, to be able to see other people navigating it, that is so helpful to know what's actually normal. So yeah, I find people have really learned so much, and then they're, yeah, signing up to study, which is awesome, because like you and I said before, we need a wave of new homeopaths, because at the moment, the medical model is completely crumbling. I think you'd have to be a fool to not see that. I don't know what it's like where you are in Perth, but here our hospitals are so, so overburdened that people are waiting in the parking lot and it's an emergency. So we need to get as many people away from that setting to actually make room also for people who need emergency trauma care. Like, we are doing the modern medical system a favor by really trying to help as many people stay well at home. What do they say? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Just get well, stay well with homeopathy. So yeah, that's where that's at.
I completely agree. I think that we're saving the government so much money and relieving the pressure on the medical system by empowering, I always say mothers, but obviously whoever the caregiver is, I say mothers because I think a lot of it starts with the mother, because our natural role is that nurturing, caring aspect. And if we can just empower mothers to take their power back and not run to the doctor for every tiny little thing. Like, I'm sometimes just blown away when I see mums taking a child to the doctor for just a mild fever. Or just, I understand when you're a new mother, but the thing is, how did we get to this place where we have stopped trusting our intuition, where we think that every tiny little thing is a medical emergency? Like, we need to get back to that place where we are empowered to treat our family as a first port of call, which is what we have always done for eons. Like, how, you know, otherwise the human race wouldn't be here if it wasn't for us mothers that have always cared for our families. So taking that power back and then leaving the emergency. Like, I always use this example. Last year in January, I had my appendix out. It had ruptured and I left it a bit too late. So it ended up being quite messy. But thank God for the hospital system. No amount of homeopathy was going to heal that. I needed to go and get surgery to have it out, which I think that was actually from shedding symptoms just quietly, but that's a story in itself.
So, and in that too, when we're talking about mums taking the power back, it's also A, learning how to use homeopathy, and B, learning that those symptoms are conducive. That is a strong immune system. Your child's fever, you know, that whole basic education. It's like, people should not be able to like be set off free with their babies until they are taught. We need some basic education. Yes. You know, obviously a lot more people are home birthing now, but imagine if in hospitals they were actually given that confidence to say, a fever, that's a great sign, you know, that your child is blah, blah, blah. It would be so beneficial. Whereas what they have done is constantly undermined. And then the last couple of years, of course, parents are genuinely scared. I don't know about you, whether you had any family members freak out over the whole pandemic saga, but in my family, there's just one family and it's like, they'll never be the same. The trauma and the fear from that, now this health anxiety, it's crippling. I mean, we're talking mask in the car alone, sort of like never going to be the same. Yes. And a lot of people fall into that category. Even a lot of the people who are more holistic, that constant brainwashing and just getting drilled, that fear is there. So coming back to knowing the body, actually how it works. Most people do not actually understand the basic foundations of how the body and the immune system works. So yeah, symptom suppression, we just want to nip it in the bud as young as possible. So mums, stay-at-home dads, anybody, like, it matters so much. And can you imagine the next generation of children? I know with my kids, I've got three baby boys and they are all the bumps and bruises and all of the this and that. And my little one, he's only two. And when he like does something wrong, or when the other boys are hurt, and he's like, I've got an idea. I need the medicine. And he just goes straight and like gets the homeopathy. And I just think, as a father, say one day when he marries someone, he will bring to that family such knowledge, because he's been doing it since he was literally a baby. And they've not needed, like probably like your kids, they've not needed anything else yet. And they're strong and robust. Yeah. So
I'm sure my regular listeners are bored of me saying this. Yeah, my kids are 11 and 8 and they've just never needed antibiotics, no vaccines, no nothing. And they are so healthy that my son has actually complained that all his friends get to have sick days, but he's never sick, so he doesn't get a sick day. So we've actually made a deal in our family now that they get to choose one day per term, which can be their sick day, because all their friends get to have sick days and they're never sick.
That is so beautiful. Oh, my gosh. And it's like a reward for staying well, son. Now, one day off, you do what you like.
Oh, that's beautiful. And seeing how they understand, how in tune they are with their bodies is just beautiful. Mm. It's beautiful. And when a remedy works for them, we've just had Homeopathy Awareness Week and we've had testimonials every day. And my kiddies both did testimonials. And it was interesting hearing them talk about how quickly a remedy works in their body. And my daughter and I actually both woke up this morning feeling really nauseous. I don't know whether I did cook some chicken last night. I've never given our family food poisoning, but we both woke up around 2 a.m. feeling really queasy. And both of us were like around the toilet bowl. We didn't vomit, but we just felt like we were going to. And I gave us each a dose of arsenicum and we went to go lie back in bed together. And she's like, "Mommy, that worked in 5 seconds. I'm like, "Yeah, for me too." And she's like, "Homeopathy is amazing." I'm like, "Yeah, it is."
Yeah. And it's so amazing too. So funny with the gastro that's obviously been going around. One of my best friends, she's an acupuncturist, but she just sent me a voice message yesterday and she said, "Oh, you're going to laugh at this. Obviously the kids had gastro real bad." And she said, "And I wasn't near my like remedy booklet. And so I was just thinking Nux Vom." And she said, "I gave them Nux Vom and gosh, they were like throwing up all night." The next day she was in doing an acupuncture and she's like, had to stop her treatment. She's like, "Oh my gosh, I'm going to throw up." She went home. Her mum's also a homeopath. And she spoke to her mom and she said, "Rach, it's arsenicum album." She said, "Oh my goodness. No, it is too." She said, "No wonder the kids didn't get that much better that quick." She was up by this point so nauseous. She took a dose of arsenicum album within 5 minutes, had power chucked up the contents of like her whole. And this is what people say, right? They take the remedy all of a sudden for some people. Everything comes out and they're like, right as rain. They're like, "Oh, that was good. Now I feel way better. Just get that poison, whatever it is, out."
Nux Vomica does that to my husband, where he has to be careful where he is when he takes the remedy because it works in under 30 seconds. So he has to be sure that he's close to a bathroom before he takes it.
Yes.
But the response is so immediate and so curative for him every single time. Yep. It's a running joke in our family now. Just make sure you're close to the bathroom before you take the remedy.
Wow. Yeah. And isn't it just like the body is so smart? I was just thinking about this the other day. It's like when modern medicine does not acknowledge that our bodies are intelligent really at all, you look at like a mother. I was just like staring at my kids and thinking my body knew how to grow you, how to knit you together perfectly. My body is so freaking smart and so is yours. And it's like, I would trust that above anything else, first and foremost, as long as possible, because my goodness, it just, the body knows how to heal. I guess sometimes people think, "Oh, but my body's so broken. Like I really have all of these chronic diseases and I don't know whether my body actually can." And it's like, it can. If you give it the right conditions, you stop giving it the toxic things, the toxic thoughts, you will be surprised just how far your body can go. Like it knows how to knit together a baby. It knows how to heal you and it knows where you're stuck. And it's that intuition, that listening, this is where the future is, coming back into ourselves and really actually feeling it. It's something that, to be honest, I have neglected intuition my whole life. I've never really been that way inclined. And it's as I've gotten older, I've just been like, "Holy crap, can't believe it." I've much more like my dad, generally that really left brain dominant logic. I just like analyze, yes, yes, yes. And even in my homeopathic cases, it's always been repertorized logic. Whereas now I feel more and more success is coming with like, I feel that this is where the issue is. I need to like explore this a bit more. It's fascinating, right?
So cool. I could literally chat with you the entire day. But like you said, you have three gorgeous boys who I have seen on Instagram. They are so healthy. For sure. When they're running around on the beach, you can just look at their little bodies and they're so strong and just vibrant. So I'm sure you need to get back to them. But I just want to thank you for your time and thank you for empowering mothers around the world. Thank you for all the great work that you're doing and thank you for your time today. It was so lovely to hang out with you.
Thank you so much. So nice, Eugenie. I so appreciate it.
Chat soon. Bye.